Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show tonight. Moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by the professor and Professor Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. Let's get the party started. Here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
That's right. That's my middle name, party. Anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Memorial Day weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're welcoming your participation in any way possible other than coming down here in person, although we do welcome that occasionally. So we hope you will give us a call. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, there is a toll-free number. 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever Kira meant for Josh Cosman to hear. So she thought he was going to be here this week, but it's Lori.
Oops.
And that's okay. We can work around all that.
I could be Josh.
All right. And as I said, we have many subjects that we will be covering, and we hope you do too. So feel free to ask us a question about any subject we haven't already mentioned. That's fine. So again, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I see one of our lines is blinking right now. This is a good time to call in, by the way. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call in now, we will get you on as soon as possible. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is mindsovermatter1. That is the numeral one, so that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear this show online, there's a live stream going on as we speak at kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear the podcast of the show later on, it should be also at kalw.org and iTunes and a lot of other places. So just look around. It won't take you very long to find it. Let's see. We're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace's introduction is out of the office this week, but it will return next Sunday. If you need additional introduction assistance, please contact Dana Rodriguez at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com.
Make sure it's the numeral one.
That's right.
Yeah, and spell the words out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now that James Holzhauer has accrued more than $2 million in Jeopardy winnings, Lori Fisher has worked out a deal with Minds Over Matter Management to double the winnings for correct answers. Tonight only, everyone gets two bells for a right answer. So we're in double mom right now.
We are.
Okay.
So don't forget the...
Careful of the arthritis in my wrist.
One bell from each hand.
All right.
Okay, we can bring people in. The intern can ring the bells if needed. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, was not at Woodstock. He was too busy watching old Kay Francis and George Brent movies on television at 2 a.m.
That's right.
Well, you know Sha Na Na was at Woodstock, right?
Yeah.
All right. Acts for everyone.
That's another reason not to have been there. Okay, so all that being said, we will start with Kira Pace.
Yeah, you'll be so happy that you did. In 2003, researchers at the University of Plymouth received a £2,000 grant from the Arts Council to study the literary output of what kind of group? By the end of the experiment, the group's output was a total of 5 pages, largely consisting of the letter S.
I might know this.
I hope you do.
So I think it's the old, you put 100 monkeys in a room together, and if you give them typewriters, they'll type Hamlet, and it was something like that.
It is an infinite number of monkeys.
Okay, infinite.
But as it turns out,
they would type Hamlet, but also every other piece of work ever.
Exactly, but they actually used 6 crested macaques, and that happened in Devon, England. 2 bells for Laurie, he's correct.
1 from each hand, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and apparently there was a lot of poop involved in the experiment,
yes, yeah,
too.
There was a lot of poop flinging,
yes.
Like the lead monkey chose to fling poop instead of actually type.
And 0 words were actually, not even like a 2-letter word was actually ever
My understanding is that's also how The Old Man and the Sea was composed. Just a lot of poop and 2-letter words.
So did you say that they were mostly the letter S?
Yeah, yeah.
Why were the macaws?
Because it was mostly just them jamming on the keyboard, and it just happened to be the letter S. Like, that's where they were jamming.
See, that would be the most interesting thing.
Why S?
Well, that's another £2,000, I guess.
I don't know if they got the grant money
council.
For that.
Well, that's only like $3,000, so it's, yeah.
All right, well you know. That. Raise some funds.
Yeah, get on that.
Right, Kickstarter that.
Our next donation drive. Well, yeah. Okay, give us another question.
All right. Let's try this one. What is the oldest continuously held phone number that is still in use? The oldest continually held phone number that is still in use. I don't want to know where it is. I want to know what the phone number is.
So is it 411? Is it a number like that?
No, this is a private number. So this is going to be a 7-digit number.
So it does not belong to any government agency or a government individual office holder?
I didn't say that, but I will give you that. You are correct. It is a privately held number.
Does it have a prefix and like Klondike 111 kind of thing?
Well, it's an old number, so it totally could.
Does it start with 555?
It does not.
Because that's the universal fake number.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they wouldn't
use... No, this is actually a number, and you can still call it.
In the United States.
You can still call it, and it's still the original holder of this number.
And does it have an area code with it, or just digits? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. That's puzzling. So this is the oldest continuously used number?
Correct.
And... So the original person who got the number is still using it?
That is correct.
Oh.
Person.
I didn't say person. You did. But the original holder of the number could be a family, could be a person, could be
corporate.
That's true.
Can you tell us how far back it goes?
At least to the 1930s.
So it's pre-area code. Is it? When we guess it, do we need the area code?
No.
Is it a trick in the numbers, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Is it
no.
more like that?
No.
So should we know it by the number or by the famous person, group, corporation?
I'm not going to tell you that.
That's not helpful.
Whatever. You got that monkey's question right away.
All right. Okay. Just read it once more.
Rest of my laurels.
Sure. What is the oldest continuously held phone number that is still in use?
In the United States.
In the United States.
Okay. And, Laura, you go ahead.
All right. I'll continue on from the literary flavor of the monkey question. This is a Shakespeare question. So, which 5 characters in Shakespeare's plays have the most lines who are not a title character of the play? So, which characters have the most lines in a Shakespeare play? So, it's not Macbeth or Hamlet or Richard, any of the Richards.
Well,
it's
Falstaff.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
He's in a couple of different plays.
That's correct. He's spread out too much.
Okay. So they can be a historical character, but they just cannot be a title character.
Correct.
Could it be something like Lady Macbeth?
It could be.
Is it Lady Macbeth?
It's not.
Okay.
Yeah. Completely legitimate.
Okay.
I would allow you Lady Macbeth. She's... not a title character.
Okay.
How about Rosalind?
No, not Rosalind. Excellent guess.
What's her name? It's Cordelia? Is that the name I want?
She's in King Lear.
Yeah.
And she's also not, doesn't have enough lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. How is this spread out between the historical characters and the fictional characters?
It's a great question. I would say that three of them are fictional characters, and one is not, and one I'm not sure about. I think four of the five are fictional, probably.
So we can guess, let's go with plays that are not named for people. So like Taming of the Shrew, are there a lot of lines in that that are on,
that's
was it
guess.
Kate or?
Bianca or?
That's Kate. A great guess to think
Catherine.
Like that. That's not one
no.
of them.
Okay.
None of them have enough characters, all those.
Lame enough.
Yeah.
All right. Can one other question. How are these spread between male and female?
I'm going to leave that out there for you and the audience to guess. Yeah. The halfway point will reveal that. Okay.
All right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good.
So tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it is really hard to say Happy Memorial Day because that means awful lot of people, young soldiers died in wars. According to the PPS, in the memory of them all, according to PPS NewsHour, they made a table, number of American soldiers who died in wars. Which war had the highest number?
The Civil War in America, right?
Very good. How many, according to the nearest, say, 100?
Dana,
approximately.
Yeah,
I'll give you the answer.
I was going to say, I don't know, half a million is more.
It's not that much.
Good. It really is very close. 498,332 died. Okay, which is the second one? Second highest?
World War II, I would think.
World War II it is. Get another bill. How many people died? How many young Americans died in this in World War II?
I think it's probably in the under 200,000 range.
405,399. Yes, it's good for people to know. Wars are no good. Wars mean death. Okay, how about the third one?
Oh, I suspect that's... Is that Vietnam?
Vietnam is number four. The third one was World War I. 116,516. What about Vietnam? How many people died in Vietnam?
54,000?
52 on 54. You know, the news hour, it says 90,000 to 20. So, but I thought
there's 50,
it was
50,000 names
50,000
on the wall.
So.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. And then
all.
The one after that, I will tell you, it's Korean War, 54,246. How about Iraq? How many young Americans died in the Iraq War? Roughly. In thousands. Just say it in thousands.
12, maybe?
No.
I was gonna
it's
say
actually somewhere under 7,000. 6,000.
Okay.
Yeah, 6,000 something. Now, that doesn't tell you how many people injured. Like in Iraq alone, 100,000 young Americans were hurt as well. Everybody, let us fight the warmongers in the White House and everywhere else. Thank you very much. Always a great show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
And, all right.
What about Puck?
Not Puck. Another great guess.
Okay.
He's got plenty of lines, but he doesn't have 600, more than 600. That's the lowest on the list. That's quite a lot of lines.
So I'm wondering if it's a character that had a name play later on but appeared in earlier plays.
Oh. No.
Okay.
I mean,
which would be one of the histories.
Yeah. Yeah, but not, I mean, that's good thinking, but not.
Okay. All right.
And is the telephone number, we have a guest from the studio audience, the Butterball Hotline Turkey number?
What do you do with that?
That is old.
You call, you call them to ask them how you fixed the turkey or the oven exploded or it's, you know, you don't even know about it.
Turkey.
No, it's not right, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, all right. The audience is wild tonight.
All right.
All right. Let me give you a couple of questions. All right, I have a sort of a question that's a lot like yours, the one you asked, the Shakespeare question. So what character in Shakespeare has the longest soliloquy in all of Shakespeare's plays and in what play?
So the single longest.
The single longest soliloquy. It's 71 lines.
Yeah.
What character has the longest soliloquy in all of Shakespeare's plays, and in what play?
I don't know. Is it one of the histories?
I'm not even going to...
Okay, I'm going to say Richard III.
You're right.
All right.
You're right. And but what play is it?
Richard III.
No.
No, it's not.
It is
oh,
not.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting then.
Yeah.
That's where I pictured it. So which other play does Richard III appear in? That's what I want to know.
All right, we can leave that.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
So Richard III, Richard of Gloucester, has the longest soliloquy in all Shakespeare's
71
plays.
Lines.
It's 71
that's
lines.
Long.
But in what play is it? It is not in Richard III.
Is he in Henry II?
It is not.
Okay.
They were 300 years apart.
Did he call the Butterball hotline?
All right, so second question. I was looking at the list of, because this is what I do, of national memorials in the United States. And by national memorial, I'm talking about, for instance, the Washington Monument or the Lincoln Memorial. Those are national memorials. So of all the list of the national memorials, and it's really not quite as long as you would think, who are the four people who have national memorials named after them who were not American citizens? So of all the national memorials in the U.S., who are the four people who have national memorials named after them that were not American citizens?
So does that, in every case, a memorial is a man-made construction, so it's never a
yeah.
natural thing?
It could be a house or it could be a building
tower,
of some
yeah.
kind, yeah.
And these are all to individual people?
It is. They
okay.
are. They are, yes.
Does Lafayette have one?
Lafayette does not. So of all the national memorials in the U.S., and by that I mean like the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial, who are the four who have memorials that are dedicated to them that were non-citizens of the United States?
Are they all in Washington? Or
no, they're spread out.
They really
all
are.
Over the country.
All right. That's an interesting question. It really is, yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the two... Yes, go
well,
ahead.
Well, no, I was thinking maybe... What about Bolivar?
Nope.
Okay. Or Che?
Che? Che Guevara?
Why
no.
not?
I don't think there's a national American memorial for that.
I think Trump would have shut that down.
Yeah. Can we ask something like, are they all politicians, or would they be more like inventors, or...
I wouldn't call any of them politicians, to
okay.
be honest.
Are any of them artists?
I wouldn't call any of them artists either.
Gandhi.
No.
Okay.
No. Oops. So once more, of the list of the national memorials in the U.S., and by that I mean the Washington Monument or the Jefferson Memorial, who are the four people who have national memorials dedicated to them who were not American citizens?
What about Christopher Columbus?
No.
What?
There is no Christopher right. Columbus National Memorial.
Yeah. That's a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been a bigger surprise if it was Che Guevara, by the way.
And
yeah. Can I ask this? Do all of them have some relation to American history and all that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So they're not just some random person.
There.
That guy.
Shoot. Designer of the White House, of, Gosh darn it.
Pierre Lafond?
That's who I was thinking.
Or,
No,
he did Washington. He just designed the laid out Washington.
Washington, yeah, that's what I meant. But no, that's who I was going for. Sorry.
And, you have to,
and I, what I say, you ask whether they all had something to do with history. Absolutely, they did. In the greater sense of North American history, okay? So not necessarily something that happened in the last 100 years, in the last 100 years or so.
Did any of them live at a time before there was a United States, and therefore that's why they weren't citizens?
I will not be saying that.
Magellan. Magellan, I think.
No?
Magellan
was Sacagawea.
Oh, no. That's good.
Oh.
No.
That's what I was thinking of, somebody of that.
Oh, but would a Native American count as, would that count as
sure,
American?
Count.
Okay.
But no, yeah. There are, none of them are Native Americans.
Okay. Are any of them explorers?
That is possible.
Okay.
Who's the Fountain of Youth guy?
Ponce de Leon.
That is not, Ponce de Leon is not one of them.
Vasco da Gama.
No.
All right. going through my fourth grade geography
Keep thinking
class.
About it. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I'm Amy Juchev.
DeSoto.
Your five guesses.
DeSoto.
DeSoto is one.
Oh, yay! Excellent. Give her two. I want to give her the two bells.
Oh, my gosh.
We got the board is lit up. People are calling it.
Hernando DeSoto. And
he's ahead of
what state is that in?
Oh, my gosh. Is it Mississippi?
It is not.
Louisiana?
No.
Florida.
Florida is correct.
Is it really?
Yes. Okay. Ooh. Yes. Hernando DeSoto is one. Who are the other three? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Al from Atlanta again.
Hi.
To get through. How you doing? All right, I hope I have this answer right, otherwise I'm going to make a fool of myself, but I hope I'm going to help you get it.
Oh, you're going to get the...
Pennsylvania 65,000.
Yep, that is correct. Oldest continuously held. You can call it and still get the Pennsylvania Hotel. Nice job.
Good job.
Excellent singing. Yeah. So who recorded that?
Glenn Miller.
Wow.
Glenn Miller, yes. Yeah. All right, so I'm going back to this list, and I'm going to try to mix it up a little because I want to get some of the older movies in here, the movie quotes, so Dana won't just knock him out of the park like he's been doing. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the other quotes where there's three people, three actors, and again, actors could mean actors or actresses, that have quotes on this list of 100 most popular. So the next person on the list has
most
the
most memorable 40, movie quotes of all time. Or that basically
most memorable is. Movie quotes of all time, yeah. So he has number 40, 50, and 54. And his first movie on the list was from 1992.
That's late.
Right.
Too late for you, Dana, to figure it out just from the year.
Is it Robert De Niro or Al Pacino?
No. I'll give you, he also has one from 1994 and 1995, and here's the hint for 1994. It's your most hated movie, Dana.
Wow.
That's very popular.
Well, The Ten Commandments is one of my most hated movies.
But, okay, but this is 1994.
Right. My most hated movie
in the 90s.
Yeah, whenever anybody brings it up, you don't understand why everybody loves it.
Oh, is it Pulp Fiction or something?
Yes. It's thank you. You're a very...
good listener.
You have a good listening ear. I will say that for you. It's that Tom Hanks movie that
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
That movie
that's a terrible movie.
I hate that movie so much.
So it's Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Is that the answer?
Okay. So now you know.
By
the
way, I went to high school with. So just say
yeah. All right. Okay. So go ahead and what's the quote from that movie that you think made it
like
number
a box
four?
Of chocolates.
Okay.
I do not understand.
What other two movies do you think Tom Hanks has quoted on this list? One from 92 and one from 95.
95 that's not Philadelphia, is it?
Yeah, but I don't remember seeing any memorable quotes from Philadelphia.
I mean, when was Apollo 13? That was.
Yeah, cool. Houston, we have a problem.
Right.
Is that?
Okay, that's 95.
That's good. So
that just leaves 92. Again, you really could just think of one of his most famously quoted
lines. Right, there's no crying in baseball.
In baseball.
Very nice.
Very
that's good.
Good.
League of their own.
Very good.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you one more because we already guessed somebody for this actress because we guessed movies in 1942, but she also has one for 49 and for 50.
Must be Betty Davis then. 49 is must be Beyond the Forest, where she says, "What a dump."
Okay, and what's the one from 50?
50 must be All About Eve, where she says, "You know, it's going to be a bump. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night."
Bumpy ride. Yeah.
I thought I was going to make it a little more difficult. Yeah, and if we already got Nile Voyager because we did the one from 42.
Right.
We'll always have the stars. Okay, and I'll just give you one more. This is an actor. He's quoted for three. Let's see, what should I give you? I'll give you the years again. I think you should be able to get this from the years. 74, 75, and 83. 74 one you should be able to get. The movie.
Oh, is it...
Godfather? No, it's too early.
Oh, I was guessing Jack Nicholson as the person.
Is that it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not Godfather. Because this is 74.
Right. Oh, is it a different Godfather, like part two? When was that? That was later.
It's later.
Yeah.
So it's not any of the Godfathers, right?
It is Godfather. It's Godfather 2.
Oh, I'll make him an offer I can't. Oh, Godfather 2 is Leave the Cannoli. Is that it?
Oh, no, so that's Godfather 1.
Okay. Is he looking for the actor? So would it be Marlon Brando?
I'm looking for the actor and the quote. So it's Godfather. So remember, this is 74, 75, and 83.
Right. So Marlon Brando, maybe?
This actor has... No, this actor has three, and it's from...
So it's Al Pacino.
It's not Marlon Brando.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
It's Al Pacino, right?
Right, so you're looking
Attica,
at the...
Attica. Is that
okay,
one?
Okay, Attica is from what movie?
Dog Day Afternoon.
Dog Day Afternoon.
You looking at me? You must be looking at me.
No, that's Robert De Niro.
Oh,
no,
you're right. I'm sorry. It's Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. Is one You're Out of Order? Mm. Or,
no, You're Out of Order.
No, that did not make it to the list, isn't it something? So we got one you got the one from 75. So you're looking for the one from 74, Godfather 2. We already know the movie. And then 83, probably, let's see, that is not considered. It's right up there towards the top of the list.
What line does he have?
Yeah, think of the most famous line. It's quoted all the time. It's part of popular culture from 1983.
Oh, of course, right. Say hello to my little friend.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
Scarface.
Right.
Scarf.
The Godfather 2 one is actually the most popular of the three.
I knew it was you.
Fredo? The one where he kisses Fredo?
Right.
No. It's advice he's giving to someone that he got from his father. Not make him an offer he can't refuse.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer?
You guys are great. I took enough time. We'll do some more next week.
All right.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Kira, it is your turn.
All right. I am going to leave my list for another time and just ask you this. According to the National Film and Sound Archive of Australia, what is the most recorded song that is written by somebody who was Australian?
Waltzing Matilda?
That's correct. Written by the poet Banjo Paterson.
Nice.
All right. And by the way, do you have a guess as to how many recordings there are of Waltzing Matilda?
Well, they played it about 50 times in On the Beach. I remember that.
I think that
would count as one.
Yeah.
So you want to know how many different recordings there are?
Yeah, different like professional recordings there are.
So
and it's not even a complete count. It's just one historian.
They could never count them all.
Yeah.
I'll start with 500.
Up?
I'll say 1,500.
Lower than that.
All right.
1,200.
Lower.
842.
Lower.
Okay. 761.
You're closer. I'll just give it to you. So far, there are more than 700 unique versions
on
a list that is still growing.
Well.
All right.
Well, she says more than 700. Yes. It should be 761.
I think it is.
All right.
And then also, Waltzing Matilda has actually shown up on the Billboard Hot 100. Do you know the person who sang it?
God, I remember it. This was in the 50s or 60s?
1960.
Yeah.
60s?
It 1960. It reached its peak of number 41 on the 1st of February, 1960.
Do we know this group in any other context but this? Are they a one-hit wonder?
I said artist, and I mean, it's a name that I know.
Is it a single person or
a
group?
It's a single person.
Lil Wayne?
No.
I think Jerry Lee Lewis did an incredible version that didn't hit the Billboard 100.
So is this, was this person... Let's see. Not a non-rock person.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Although it was on the Billboard Hot 100.
Was it a hip? Some people, sometimes Bobby Darin did songs like that. Like he did Back the Knife, he took serious songs.
I know that you can swing or
somebody like that, Bobby Darin, a kind of a Las Vegas kind of guy.
Leave that out.
Not a crooner.
That's good. Give that part of the question again.
Sure. Waltzing Matilda has been on the Billboard Hot 100 one time. It was it reached a peak of number 41 on the 1st of February, 1960. Who performed it?
60. So was this, just one question, is this an individual?
Yes.
Okay. Burl Ives.
Nope.
Yeah.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
Okay. Hey, so Sal beat me to Pennsylvania 6-5,000.
Oh,
let's see if I can do
double bell.
Oh, no, that's all right. Second in line's fine. So, Dana, regarding your national parks question.
Yes.
Is there a Sequoia National Park?
No, because it's not named after it's not named after an individual, is it?
Looking for
not that I know of, anyway.
Even if it were, it would
Is it really Sequoia? There was somebody named Sequoia?
The trees are named for Sequoia, the Indian.
I don't think it's a national monument, though.
Native Americans, so
that's a national park, though. That's not a national memorial.
It's a national memorial.
It is a national memorial.
I did not know that.
I did not know Sequoia was named after. Okay, but I'll give you a bell for that.
That's a park, though. It's not a national monument.
Right.
No, you're right about that. Okay, well, is there a King Kamehameha water slide and beer garden?
There is not. I wish there was, but there is not.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, then in that case, I don't have any answers, but I do have a question or two if you have the time.
Yes.
So what event is considered the first international news event? And that is purportedly it's the first event that was covered on every continent other than Antarctica.
So,
Krakatoa?
That's a good
guess. Yeah, it is Krakatoa.
Oh, very nice. Good. Oh, great.
Okay.
So, was this basically because of modern communication or, the telegraph?
Exactly. It's modern communication, the spread of the British Empire, how made it so effectively like on Africa, and it was news everywhere because of the accessibility of communications at that point and the fact that it was heard as far as 3,000 miles away.
Right. Good question. So,
and then one other
Go ahead.
So what event in U.S. history is most commonly used example of crisis management in American business schools?
And how long has it been used as the most common example?
This has been used for almost 30 years.
About like 3 Mile Island.
No.
How far back is it? When you say it's been used for 30
years?
The event,
I'll give you a loose clue. It's within the last 50 years. But the response by the company,
was it the car exploding?
Unsafe
at any speed.
Is this the Tylenol?
It's the Tylenol incident. Where they used it, how they took essentially all of their product off the shelves, offered everyone a refund, and came up with safety packaging for it.
And now none of us can open an aspirin tablet anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the plan. All right. Great show as always.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Sure. Yeah, good night.
And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. I'm going to borrow a page from Cameron Shaw's playbook. A couple of weeks ago, she did a question where she asked which countries and American states had alternating consonants and vowels. Turns out there's six state capitals that have that exact formation where they have consonant-vowel-consonant or vowel-consonant-vowel. What are they? There were six states, and now I'm looking for the six state capitals.
Oregon with Salem?
Correct. And that's a double. It's got both the state and the...
Sweet.
Give her two on that one.
Did you know that my first, middle, and last names are also alternating all the way through?
Let's hear them all? Kara?
Yeah, that's three. So I beat Oregon by one.
What's your middle name?
Oh, you have to figure that out.
Salem.
Salem.
Oregon.
My middle name is Salem.
So give the question again.
So we're looking for six state capitals, now five because Kara got Salem, in which the name of the state capital has alternating consonant vowel consonant or alternately vowel consonant vowel.
So you can't have two consonants in a row, is that
correct?
What you're saying?
So Sacramento would be eliminated because it has the C and the R together.
Montana with Helena.
That's another correct one. Very nice.
Good job.
Okay. So that's two of the six.
All right.
I'll give you one if you have it, but the audience is crying out for these.
All right. Well, I don't want to.
Anyway, so we're looking for the four others. Kara got Salem and Helena.
Okay. How many letters in the longest one?
Eight.
All right.
Brought the show to a stop.
Atlanta?
No, Atlanta. They end in a T here together.
Oh.
And other than that, it fills the bill.
And the T into L.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I was very glad to hear you guys were not happy with Forrest Gump.
Well, Dana, give all credit to Dana. He took over the anger.
Yes.
Well, good for him. So the longest soliloquy by Richard II, is that the third? Is
Richard,
that in Richard II?
It is not.
Okay. Let's look at these people that talk too much.
Okay.
in Shakespeare. Viola in Twelfth Night?
No.
Richard II, he talks a lot.
He does, but he doesn't make the top five.
God, you guards are hard.
And he is the title character in Richard II.
Oh, that's true.
So that
that's
would also
true.
Eliminate him.
I'm sorry. How about Iago?
Oh, that's number one.
There you go.
Iago has 881 lines in which play? He's in Othello. Yeah, he's in Othello. Very good.
Now, does Brutus run Julius Caesar?
He does. So Brutus is number three on the list in Julius Caesar, historical character, almost 700 lines.
I'm wondering if some of the teammates there might help me, but I'm having a senior moment on the woman who runs Merchant of Venice.
Portia?
Portia.
She's not on the list.
Okay, well, I got two.
You did. Yeah.
I'm a happy man.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Thomas.
That's what we aim for. Thanks, Thomas.
All right. So I have a list here of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 actors. And I want you to tell me the film they made that has a national park in the title. Okay? So, obviously, the film is not
memorial.
It doesn't say National Park, but as, you know, where the title of the park, it doesn't say.
Yeah. So, Sequoia could be an answer. It's not.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there is a film called Sequoia, but I didn't ask it because the actress was Jean Parker, and I didn't think anybody would remember Jean Parker. So, I tried to stick to actors who were pretty well known.
And the films are well known, too, or not so much?
Yeah, moderately. Right. Yeah, I would say.
All right.
So, again, these are five actors who starred in films with a national park name in the title. So here we go. Number one, Steve Martin. Number two, Errol Flynn. Number three, James Stewart. Number four, Betty Davis. Number five, Sissy Spacek. I'm going to give you each one guess. So again, these are actors who starred in films with a national park name in the title of the film. Number one, Steve Martin. Number two, Errol Flynn. Number three, James Stewart. Number four, Betty Davis. Number five, Sissy Spacek.
I'm going to guess the park first, and then if I'm right, I'll guess the actor, Everglades.
None of them.
Ah.
That's your one guess.
All right. That was the only one I was sure of.
I feel like I can answer one of these with time, so I'm going to hold on my guess.
Wait till the show's over.
Right.
All right. Well, since you didn't do that well, I'll give you another guess.
Oh. I had stopped thinking when you told me that.
All right.
I got to think here. It'll just be silence for a minute. I'm with Carol.
Well, that's okay. I'll repeat the question.
All right. Until there's the jerk national park.
These are five actors who starred in films with a national park's name in the title. Number one, Steve Martin. Number two, Errol Flynn. Number three, James Stewart. Number four, Betty Davis. Number five, Sissy Spacek.
And these are starring roles. It's not going to
They're all stars.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
So I'm trying to think of national parks and working backwards.
Oh, Grand Canyon for Steve Martin.
That is correct.
Okay.
There you go.
Very good.
Good job. That's, all right, so you get the idea now.
I forgot he was in that. Good.
All right. And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. We have not repeated the questions that are left out, so Kira, you go first.
I believe I just have one, and it is this. Waltzing Matilda was on the Billboard Hot 100 one time, and that was in February of 1960. It peaked at number 41. Who performed it?
Was it an American singer who performed it? Do you know?
I believe so.
Boxcar Willie?
Because it's a Burl Ives. I think that's a good guess, the Burl Ives song, but not him.
Roger Whittaker?
No.
Pete Seeger?
No.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. I have two questions with some out. So Shakespeare's characters who have the most lines who are not title characters, Iago was first and Brutus was second. We're looking for three more. And then we're looking for state capitals whose in their name alternates consonant, vowel, consonant, or vowel, consonant, vowel. And we have Salem and Mount Helena. We're looking for four more.
Yes, Kira.
Madison.
Excellent voice.
Wisconsin.
Getting him. Madison, Wisconsin. Okay, so Kira's frozen out. No more. She'll get them, but yeah.
All right, let me see here. Richard III, or Richard of Gloucester, had the longest soliloquy in all of Shakespeare's plays, 71 lines. What play is it in? It is not in Richard III.
How about Henry IV?
No. And what are the four national memorials, as in the Washington Monument or the Jefferson Memorial, in the U.S. that are dedicated to non-citizens? Kira got one of them, which is the Hernando de Soto National Memorial and Car Factory.
Are the rest all men?
Yes, they are all men.
Are any
Shocking.
More? Are there any more
although,
explorer or
although,
explorers?
Although, I will say, there's Ooh. A bit of a question about one of them.
Oh, Ooh. That must be a big clue.
It is a big clue if you have kept up on your on what has been discovered recently.
So something in the news has suggested
very recently
something interesting
been
about
this person in the news.
Is this a British person?
It's not
okay.
a British person.
And is it a soldier?
And I don't want you giving that to your husband. And, okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Good evening, all. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Betty Davis was in The Petrified Forest.
That is correct, Petrified Forest. Very good.
Maddie says hi. She got that one.
Good.
Waltzing Matilda, is that Harry Belafonte?
No.
Oh, that's
all right, how about Rolf Harris?
Nope.
Okay. Mark Antony probably has a whole boatload of lines.
He does, but not big enough boat. Brutus has more lines than he does, so he didn't make the list.
We had two?
Yeah.
non-American born with memorials. How about John Muir?
No.
Good guess.
Casimir Pulaski?
No.
And Kosciuszko?
Yes.
Oh.
Thaddeus Kosciuszko is the one who I just mentioned there was a question of. They recently exhumed his remains, and after a bit of an examination of his remains, it turns out that he was a, not a transsexual, but he was a gender fluid.
Really?
In other words, he had men's and women's genitalia.
You can say that.
Yes.
And why was he/she exhumed?
They wanted to make room for a 7-Eleven. I don't remember that part of the article. I was so fascinated by this, the
Amazing.
Genital thing. But is his Thaddeus Kosciuszko is his house, the house he lived in when he was fighting in the Revolutionary Wars in Philadelphia. So, yes.
Hmm.
Very good.
Yay. Okay, I've got a question for all of you. I'm going to have to recuse you, Dana, because I asked it last week at the King's X.
All right.
Or at the Oaks. These four movies, what is the common factor to all these? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, 1931. North by Northwest, 1959. Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, 1975. And Silver Linings Playbook, 2013.
Jeremy already told me about this question, so I am also recused.
Okay.
Although I did eventually answer it once I found out who was in that third movie you mentioned.
So it's a casting issue?
Not necessarily a casting issue, but actors that were in it were in a sort of common factor.
Is this like a 6 degrees of separation kind of deal?
Not really.
All right. So actors...
What do you know about any of the movies?
Well, I've seen them all.
Have you?
Yeah.
Who's in them?
Frederick March is in... Or Spencer Tracy is in... Frederick March. Cary Grant, Eva Marie Saint in North by Northwest. Alice doesn't...
Yeah,
there's
a different actor from
Ellen
North
Burstyn,
by Northwest.
Leo G. Carroll.
Nope.
Martin Landau.
Nope.
James Mason.
Good.
So James Mason was not in Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, was he? I know.
Yeah.
Is it that there's a person named Mason in all of them? No.
Nope.
Try the third movie, then.
The third movie, Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, is Ellen Burstyn and Chris Christopherson.
Very good.
Okay. And Silver Linings Playbook is Jennifer Lawrence and the guy who's in it, give me his name.
What else was it?
I'm trying to think of the guy. I can picture him.
Yeah. Bradley
Cooper.
All right.
So I'm still...
What ties them all together?
Cooper, Mason, Christopherson. They all end in sons. No.
And Frederick March.
They all...
Boy. They were all in A Star Is Born.
Oh, I see. They were all in some version of A Star Is Born. Whoa.
Exactly.
That was hard work that I had. I still didn't get it.
Okay, we're done.
Very nice.
All right, thank you, Sparky. Bye-bye.
Ooh.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
For national monuments, what about Henry Hudson?
No.
Okay. For state capitals, Dover, Delaware?
That's one of them. Very nice. Dover's in there, and Delaware is one of the other states.
Double barrel.
Yeah, give him two bells. Very nice.
For long-winded Shakespeare non-title characters.
Yeah.
What about Prospero?
Yes, Prospero in which play?
Tempest.
He is fifth on the list, so we're looking for the two others, and they're both more obscure than the people we've been talking about.
And I have a question.
Yes.
On the average weekday, how many Lyft and Uber drivers are there on the streets of San Francisco within 10%? Silence.
2,000.
Wait, do you mean like throughout the entire day?
Yes.
How many were there?
Yes.
So I'll start with 2,000. Is that anywhere near it?
No, nowhere near.
Way too low, right?
It's low, way low.
Yeah, maybe. Let's start like at 80,000.
Whoa.
That's way high.
Way high? Okay.
Yeah. Somewhere between the two.
So Dana,
how about
take over?
How about 22,000?
Double it, and you got it.
44.
Got it right. Yeah, 45.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
I've never taken an Uber or a Lyft.
Well, there's just one driver's listening to the show right now and just stopped driving.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, David from Berkeley.
Hi, David.
Did that last gentleman say about 45,000 in San Francisco?
Yes.
Per day.
Wow. Well, I'm calling about the non-citizen statue. It would have to be the Marquis de Lafayette.
No, not a statue necessarily, just a memorial.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure a statue is included, but there is no dedicated Lafayette memorial in the United States.
Right. There's just
not in a national sense. Yeah, there might be one in individual places that are named after Lafayette, but not a national memorial.
I thought you were going with Marquis de Sade, but apparently not.
Okay, and then I have a quick question. Do you know the name of the state that never was?
Franklin?
Wow, you guys absolutely amaze me. I'm hanging up.
It's a good reaction.
Thanks a lot, though.
That's what
I really
best
appreciate
callers
that
do.
45,000 answer by that other caller.
Oh.
Because they're trying to build a 52-story building in Emeryville.
Really?
And they want to depend on Uber.
To bring people to the city? Is that it?
Yeah, it's somewhere about 650 residents before they put in any commercial.
Oh, interesting.
Things, but what can you say? Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And who has a very short question?
I do.
All right.
I think it's an editing kind of question. So we all know how to use the apostrophe. There's two basic ways to form contractions and possessives. There's two, and if you're generous, three ways that can be used correctly where it doesn't do either of those things. So where can the apostrophe in every style guide that I saw be used correctly, not for contraction and not for a possessive?
Well, there's also just the elision of numbers in, say, like the 80s, 1980s,
that's
the 80s.
That's the half one.
Okay.
Yeah, like 1960s, 70s, and 80s. That's half correct. So just one bell tonight for that. There's two others where...
Well, no, it was one of your answers, just because your answer
people,
is half
people
correct.
Tend to leave it off now, like in 1960s. They leave off the apostrophe, but these other two, you can't leave it off. Well, you could, but you would not be correct.
In the age of email, I bet everybody does.
Yeah, but these are like not the email thing. These are like officially.
Okay.
Like teachers and editors and would look for this.
And
to be
it's definitely an apostrophe and not say an inverted comma.
You know, you might have a technical quote. Level. On my computer, it would be the apostrophe. It might be more technically narrow than that.
Well, no, like for terminology, if you use like a single quote, like that would count. It would be the same key, most likely on your keyboard.
So it's not that.
Okay.
Maybe it should be.
I mean, they're not actually the same, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a long single question.
Well...
Just read it once more.
Okay, so the apostrophe can be used legitimately for contractions and possessives. There's also two other cases. Kara got the 1960s. There's two more.
All right.
Very familiar.
And
let's and it's not for... I know some people allow it for things like to make an initialism plural like CDs.
So it's not that.
Not that, yeah.
That'd be one people would frown upon, but people do that all
not
the time.
Not all the style guides, though.
I agree.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Oh, that's fine. I frown upon it, so.
Good. All right.
And let's go to
you're
a
right,
call.
It wasn't that short.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hello. I was also going to guess Rolf Harris, but that was wrong. But with the most recent question, the use of the apostrophe, I've seen it used often in vernaculars in front of for EM as opposed to them.
Oh. And if I were in charge, which I'm not, I would say that was kind of a contraction, but I'll give that one to you. That's good for vernaculars in front of words instead of in the middle of them. That's good.
Oh, I got a bell. Wow.
Yes.
It should be two.
Thank you.
If data were more generous.
And we have a few minutes left. If you'd like to give us a quick call, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I see it again. I had an awful, frightening experience with Uber on Friday. I couldn't jump from the car because the woman who was driver have locked the doors. I had 10 minutes of frightened experience. You guys think seriously before you take Uber. You have no idea that person next to you, who is he or she, and it really, I never expected that. Was extremely frightening. Was about 2 miles worth of fright. I threatened her, and she let me out. Don't take Uber at all. Thank you, guys. Also, in the memory of the Armenian people who, innocent civilian who died in Iraq, Afghanistan, everywhere else, people who did us no harm and represented no threat. Thank you, guys. Again, please, everybody, do not take Uber. Thank you.
This is an editorial comment by one of our
work
callers.
For KLW comes from,
and we have no recommendation one way or another on it. Okay, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Hal in Fremont.
Hi, Hal.
How are you doing?
Good. Are you an Uber driver?
I am not.
Okay, good. All right, go ahead.
I believe Errol Flynn was in a movie called Rocky Mountain.
Oh, good job. Good job. Yes, Rocky Mountain. Very good.
Sweet. One other. Honolulu. Alternating letters?
It is. That's the long one. Alternating letters? Honolulu, okay. Hawaii. Thank you.
That's the first one that came to my mind. So, yes. All right, that's all I got.
Thank you.
Great show as always.
All right.
Thank you.
Did you bell him on Honolulu?
I did.
All right. Just checking.
You weren't listening.
I was listening for the second bell.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
And somebody just took Karen's Honolulu answer.
Oh.
But her other answer on the same question is Topeka.
And that's Kansas. The sixth one. Very good.
Good.
Excellent. Thank you.
And for national parks and movies, Sissy Spacek in Badlands.
That is correct. Badlands.
And for most Shakespeare lines for a non-title character, how about Shylock?
No. Shylock doesn't make the list. I'm surprised, but he doesn't have enough lines.
All right. Well, that's what we've got.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Pat in El Cerrito.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, is the Waltzing Matilda question still out there?
Yes,
it is.
Okay, I'll confess I did some maybe unauthorized research, but I'll also state that I emphatically knew the name of the singer when I recognized it, and oddly enough, it was Jimmy Rogers, whom I never would have suspected. And
it's Jimmy Rogers.
Practically fell off my chair.
I don't think it's the singing engineer Jimmy Rogers. There was
no, it's not. It's the sort of country, pre-pop Jimmy Rogers,
pop
Honeycomb, and Sweeter Than Wine,
that's
things
right.
like that.
Honeycomb guy.
Yeah, also wanted to know, on the apostrophes, what about layered quotations within quotes?
Oh, man.
I mean, technically, they are not the same. They are one is curlier than the other. So,
well, I mean, you know, you have double quotes, and then when you have somebody quoting where they're quoting, then you go to a single, and they alternate in levels successively.
I'm going to say technically, we have a technical editor. Give him that one. That wasn't what I was thinking of, but that's really good.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Great show. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tony in Oakland.
Hi, Tony.
Is Omaha one of the state capitals? Did anybody get that?
It would be, but it's not the state capital of Nebraska. I think Lincoln is.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's very, but it fits the pattern.
Sure thing. And somebody grabbed my hometown of Honolulu.
Oh, they did.
I wanted to ask a little question, if you want. A reversed apostrophe in Hawaiian is a letter called an okina. Oh, cool. Sometimes you see it at the end of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that letter do?
It is a glottal stop. Glottal
you
stop?
You got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
What's that
Thank
mean?
You very much.
Sorry, when you say, sound.
That's
before, like,
it's that sound.
Yeah.
That sound. It separates some vowels then when they run on and on and on.
We're learning something tonight. Yeah. That never
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And, oops, sorry about that. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
The apostrophe in Hawaii, is that what he just talked about?
Is that the glottal stop?
Okina. Yeah.
Well,
so it's not. It's an okina.
Okina.
Yeah. So no.
Okay.
But
and
close.
I have one more to guess on apostrophes.
Okay.
How about in ma'am, as in madam or yes ma'am?
Well, I think of that perhaps incorrectly as a contraction for madam and that. So I think of it as leaving out a letter. So.
Okay.
Not giving you that one.
Well,
sorry.
What about the question on the apostrophe I at the end of the island names? What does that apostrophe? What does the apostrophe I signify?
Oh, you mean that all the Hawaiian names end in I, or not all of them? Because Oahu doesn't. But what you're talking about? Like Hawaii?
Most of the ones I can think of do.
Does it maybe just mean island?
Or location?
Okay.
Nice.
Separate location.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. Time to clean up here. What do we got?
Yeah, nothing.
All right.
The two Shakespearean characters who are not title characters, who may not be famous, and the second most is by Caius Martius in Coriolanus. He has 870 lines. And Leontes, King of Sicilia in The Winter's Tale, is the fourth most. The apostrophes, you'll have to tell me if I'm wrong, but the two I have... Is you saying 6 feet tall? It gets that little diacritical mark, and I'm getting a weird look from Kira. And the other one I'm pretty sure is right. Like if I gave out 7 A's last night for things, then
that's why
apostrophe
that's
S?
That's exactly what I said with the CDs. Like, oh. So well, it's the same, similar. Okay. But
yeah,
okay.
I think it's similar, but I don't think it, because otherwise it looks like the word as, and so, and B apostrophe S for A's, B's, C's, and D's when you're giving out, talking about letters specifically. CDs would be close. Yeah, give her the bell for CDs.
And let's see, actors who starred in films with a national park name in the title, the only one nobody got was James Stewart and Shenandoah. The national memorials dedicated to non-citizens of the U.S., the ones that nobody got, Roger Williams National Memorial, that's in Rhode Island, and Coronado, Francisco Coronado National Memorial, that is in Arizona. The longest soliloquy in all of Shakespeare is Richard of Gloucester, Richard III, but it is not in Richard III, it is Henry VI, Part III. So, anyway, if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College, and, of course, David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to listen in and call in. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. There you go. Pennsylvania 65,000.